Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Where the line between neighbor and nightmare is razor thin. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis.
Diddy, more charges, more civil charges against him this last week. Seven new. It's not the same seven as last week. These are new ones. This is the batch that involves the 13-year-old girl in the VMA after party in the year 2000. It's the ones that involved the A-list sports celebrity that allegedly went in and stopped him from committing a sexual violence act against another. It's that group. We're going to have to like name these because I feel like every Monday more are going to drop. Joining me to discuss, Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor. Big question still continues to come up with all these. Who are the celebrities? Who are the mystery people in all of this? I want to first talk about, because these are civil cases, and the demand letter that was sent out by Tony Busby to some of the people in these videos. Apparently, if one was seen in there, a demand letter went out. Tell me about that logistically. What is the purpose of the demand letter? What type of people would it go to? And what possible outcomes could it have? What choices do the recipients have once they get it?
Totally. So a demand letter typically is a legal formal request for compensation. And so you identify people whom you think are responsible as the civil attorney, and then you send it to them. And especially if they're high profile folks, and you send it to them and their counsel and perhaps, business operations executives, depends on the nature of what's going on. But and you say, hey, look, you pay us $500,000 and this will be not, and there's not going to be any disclosure, and we'll sign an NDA and this, that'll be that for you. But if you don't, we are going to go public with this. And so they have leverage that they put into these demand letters, kind of saying pay up or else things are going to get really bad for you.
What's the difference between a demand letter and extortion?
It's a fair question. Extortion, at least in Colorado, where I practice, usually requires the threatening of some unlawful act.
Okay.
Say like, hey, if you don't pay us money, I'm going to, break your daughter's kneecaps or something. That's certainly extortion. But if you're just using the information you have as leverage in a legal proceeding in a way that does not run afoul of any other law, usually in Colorado, that is a permissible demand.
So does the person on camera have to be breaking a law in order to demand some sort of money? Or could it be the person just happens to be at the party? They're not breaking any laws. They're there, but you catch them on camera. Maybe there's some other stuff going on where the law is being broken, but it's not involving them.
That's a really important distinction, because I think if a demand was sent to someone who had objectively just no legal responsibility, criminal, civil, or otherwise, they were just an attendee or something like that, then I think you get closer to extortion, because you're saying, hey, pay us money or I'm going to ruin your reputation wrongly. Mm-hmm. I don't have a good legal basis to. I don't have a legal basis to say that you're responsible for this, but I'm going to make you hurt if you don't give us some money. That's when we start to get much closer to extortion. Typically, it would be improper to send a demand to people who had no legal responsibility.
And that's where I guess it gets to be a gray area. I mean, one of these allegations stems from that 13-year-old. The quick details on it are it was after the 2000 MTV Video Music Awards at a Diddy party of some sort. Diddy was in a room, and then according to the claim, a male celebrity and a female celebrity came into the room. Diddy and the male celebrity both sexually violated the 13-year-old. While the female watched, that person right there, who was there with the male, this happened, didn't do anything allegedly, what kind of responsibility does that person face? Could that person be someone who would have received that demand letter?
That is like a hypothetical you would receive in law school, because there's a ton of gray area there. It's hard to determine. You know, were they an accomplice? Well, if they were an accomplice, they would have to know that what was happening was unlawful, probably know that the girl or the participant was underage, and they would probably have to provide some sort of aid or facilitation or something like that. Now, if they were standing in front of the door, does that constitute trying to, prohibit someone from leaving or something like that? It really depends on the specific facts and circumstances of what that person was doing, whether they were a completely innocent bystander or whether something more nefarious was at play.
The person, the male accomplice in this, or the one that was with Diddy that had the allegations of doing this to the 13-year-old girl, I would imagine they'd be one that would receive the demand letter for sure.
I think without question, and I think it would be a hefty demand. I'm talking well into the seven figures. And, you know, for some of these folks, especially if we're talking like someone who was a star in 2000, but things that might have changed, they might not be in a position to pay these demands. And so they might have no choice but to, not pay the demand in full and have their name outed, which we could see in the coming weeks or months.
Yeah, I mean, that will be very fascinating if that's what happened. Yeah, I mean, we are talking how many years ago now, 24 years ago. A lot of celebrities that are on the top of their game then are not now and do not have the means to pay something like this. When you have something like this, obviously these demand letters, if you do have the means and you do pay it, it ends up with an NDA. It ends up with the suit not being necessarily filed, right? I mean, the people in this, if this is already filed like this, is there a demand letter already out to that person that they've said screw off to? Or I guess that would be the question. Why hasn't the person been named yet if they didn't comply with the demand letter?
Yeah, good question, because typically the sequence is you send a demand letter, say, pay us or else we're going to disclose everything when we file a lawsuit. And then you file the lawsuit disclosing everything. Here we have the lawsuit and there is no such disclosure. So is it the attorney giving another chance to this person to say, hey, look, we're serious. We're going to be very clear about who you are if you don't pay this. That's possible. Is it possible that the attorney filed the lawsuit, like did it out of sequence, filed the lawsuit first to give additional leverage to be like, hey, time's ticking, man. You can't just like sit on this. We're going to send this demand and you've got like 32 days before you're required to respond by law. So it could be a sort of creative sequencing like that.
So would there be like, if for example, that's where it's sitting right now and the celebrity has not come back with the money, is there like some sort of amendment to the law filed or just another piece of it that's filed that then names the individual?
Certainly, there could be what's called an amended complaint. You have an initial complaint, you know, saying what happened and disclosing who you want to be or who you believe is at fault. But you could always file an amended complaint as additional information arises, as the course of the proceedings progress.
And this is where the legal and moral threads start to knot. It's not just about NDAs or demand letters anymore. It's about a system that's been exploited for years, where secrecy is essentially currency and reputation above anything else is king. Diddy's situation is a case study in the limits of control. The harder you grip, the more things slip through your fingers. The question now is not just whether these celebrities can keep their skeletons hidden, but whether they've ever been in control of them at all. We're looking at a game of legal chess with no guaranteed winners. We're paying and playing the game. Paying one off only invites another. And those demand letters start to feel like less a solution and more like temporary life rafts on a sinking ship. What we're really witnessing, it's a slow collapse, a house of cards built on power, silence, and the belief that consequences could be endlessly deferred. But here's the thing. When secrets become liabilities, people scramble to unburden themselves, and no one gets out clean. The behavioral patterns here are all too familiar. It's the classic narcissistic playbook. Deny, deflect, discredit. That feels And if that fails, Take everyone else down with you. The tragedy is, in these power circles, morality gets reduced to damage control. Apologies are just another PR move. And justice, real justice, becomes an afterthought. But what does justice even look like in a case like this? When the people capable of telling the truth are either too scared or too complicit to speak, do we trust that the legal system, one often bent on the whims of the rich and famous, will really push back the curtain this time? Or are we selling ourselves up for yet another cautionary tale where nothing truly changes and the powerful continue to play by their own rules? It's hard to tell whether we're at the end of the story or just another act in a much darker play, but one thing is for certain. The days of simply writing checks to make things disappear are coming to an end. And when the final curtain falls, it won't just be Diddy left exposed. It'll be a whole network of enablers, all wondering if it was worth the price of admission. I'm Tony Bruschi. If you want to stay up to date with the cases that we are covering, be sure to press subscribe, because this story is far from over. Hey, thanks for checking out the video. Be sure to follow us wherever you download podcasts, and especially Apple Podcasts, where you can get advanced episode and premium content on our premium channel right there. Also, be sure to follow us on social media so you don't miss any breaking updates on the stories that matter to you most. We're on TikTok, X, Instagram, Facebook. Just search Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi, and you'll find us right there. Again, thanks for watching. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today, Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.